Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're beginning a study of a prayer that Paul prayed for Christians, for believers. It's found in his letter to the Ephesians. The Ephesians were a group of believers who lived in the city of Ephesus in what is today the nation of Turkey. Paul had established the church and had a lot invested in these people. He stayed with them for 3 years after he established the church. That's longer than he stayed anywhere else. He spent 2 of those 3 years teaching every day, all day in a school in the city. And then he also taught them in their homes. He eventually had to move on to other works, but he wrote back to them this letter. And in this letter, he tells them that he prays for them regularly. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, verses 17 through 19, he prays for them that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He prayed that they would have greater insight and revelation as they got to know God better. And then he prayed that that revelation and insight would come in 3 specific areas. Let me keep reading. I pray the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. He prayed that they would have greater revelation and insight in these 3 areas. 1, they would know the hope to which they're called. 2, they would know the riches of the inheritance that they have in Christ. And 3, that they would know the greatness of the power of God in them and toward them. Now, each one of those things is a whole lesson in and of itself, and we'll eventually get to all of them. But we're starting this week with the hope we have in him. Because we know God, we have a hope and an inheritance and great power available to us. Now, when we left off yesterday, I was encouraging you to pray this prayer for yourself and for your loved ones. If you have loved ones who are believers, you can put your own name in here. This is a Holy Spirit-inspired prayer. That means it is the will of God, and it will be answered, and the answer is yes. You can. I'm going to pray it like I would pray it for myself, okay? Lord, I pray that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, and that I would know what is the hope of your calling, and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward me who believes. God, I'm asking that you would give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. You personalize it and pray it for yourself, believing that every time you pray, he hears you, and you get more insight. I pray this prayer for everybody who considers Riches in Christ a food source. If you listen to this broadcast regularly and consider this one of your sources of spiritual food, then you're included in this prayer. I may not know you, but God knows you. And when I pray this prayer, that's what I pray. Lord, I pray for everyone who considers Riches in Christ a food source, those I know and those I don't know. Lord, I pray that you would give unto each of us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I pray the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, we would know what is the hope of your calling, and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints is, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe. I encourage you to begin to pray that. Now, let's move on here. Paul began this prayer for these people whom he dearly loved, and in whom he had already invested a lot of time. He began the prayer not with the inheritance and power, which is ours in this life, but with the hope that we have. He began with hope. Knowledge of what's ahead helps us keep this life in proper perspective. Now, we'll discuss this in more detail later, but that's where he started. The most important thing you need is hope. Now, you may be thinking, no, I need an answer to my immediate crisis. I totally understand that. But if you have hope as you deal with that crisis, you'll get a lot farther down the road. Now, Paul prayed. I'm going to read this. The King James says he prayed that you would know what is the hope of his calling. The 20th century translation there says, I pray that you may realize the hope given by God's call. That's good. God wants us to know the hope realized, or the hope given by his call. God has called each of us to something that gives us hope. If you know what you're called to, it will give you hope. Hope is confident expectation of coming good. If you know what you're called to, it'll give you an expectation of good. It'll give you hope. And it will give you a purpose. This call gives us purpose. We all have a future. Well, let me say this before I talk about the future. When I say God has called all of us to something that gives us a hope, and this hope gives us, this call not only gives us hope, it gives us a purpose. When people like me use the word call, people like you tend to hear it as, what is my calling? Am I called to be a minister? Am I called to be married? Am I called to work at such and such a career? What's my calling? I'm thinking bigger than that right now. You're an eternal being, and you have more, there's more to life than just this life. Let's take Billy Graham as an example. Probably everybody's heard of Billy Graham. He's probably the greatest soul winner of the 20th century. So obviously, the call of God on him in this life was to go out and preach the gospel as an evangelist, which he's done. But have you ever thought about this? Will he be out of a job in heaven? Well, yeah, he will, if that's his created purpose, because there's nobody who needs to be won to salvation through faith in Christ in heaven. There'll be nobody to preach salvation to. So what do we do with Billy Graham? Will he go sit in a corner? Will he have outlived his purpose? Will he have become obsolete? I'm being facetious, obviously. No, you have a purpose that outlasts this life. That purpose is to become God's son or daughter through faith in Jesus. Now, we'll get to that in detail in just a minute. But here's my point for now. We all have a future. We all have a future. Not just in this life, but in the life after this life. But before we can talk about your future, you have to understand some things about your past. Accurate knowledge of your past and your future will help you live this life more effectively. Now, Paul actually began this epistle where we find the prayer that we're discussing with a reference to our past and our purpose. Let me back up a bit here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. He says, even as God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having decided beforehand to make us his children through Jesus Christ. And this is according to the good pleasure of his will. A lot in this verse we're not going to address right now. The main point is this: God chose us before he formed the earth, and he destined us to become his holy, blameless sons and daughters. That's your created purpose. In eternity past, God devised a plan to have a family. He chose us, this verse says, in Christ. Chosen here means to choose out, and it carries the idea of kindness, favor, and love. God, motivated by love, developed a plan to have a family, and he chose us for it. God created the earth to be home for his family. Isaiah 45:18 says that he didn't create the earth to be empty. He made it to be inhabited. He created it as a home for his family. When God made Adam, he made a son. Luke 3:38 calls Adam the son of God. When God made Adam, he made a son and a race of sons in Adam. Adam and Eve Eve came out of Adam, and Adam and Eve were to have the privilege of bringing the family of God into existence through natural processes. However, Adam and man in Adam sinned. Whole can of worms for another day. But Adam took the race into the pig pen of corruption and death. And God the Father lost his family. He knew this would happen, and he had a plan in mind to regain what he lost. There is a plan unfolding in the earth right now with an end game in sight. God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to earth to pay the price for sin so it could be removed and God could regain his family. You're familiar with Luke 19:10. Jesus said, I've come to seek and save the lost. That's why he came, to seek. He is seeking lost men and women lost in the pig pen of sin, corruption, and death. He is seeking because this is a purposeful plan. Have you ever wondered why God calls sinners lost? Why doesn't he call sinners dirty, rotten sinners who are guilty of sin before a holy God? Which we are. We are. We're all of those things. The Bible makes that clear. Well, why call sinners lost? Because in our fallen, sinful condition, we're lost to the purpose for which we were created. We were created for sonship and relationship with God. And see, Ephesians 1:18 here says that we would know the hope of his calling. That word calling there actually comes from a word that means an invitation to a banquet. And it's used in the New Testament to mean a call or an invitation into the kingdom of God and all its privileges. God has chosen you, and he has issued you an invitation. If you have bowed your knee to Jesus as Savior and Lord, you've answered the call, and you now have a hope. See, I said yesterday or a little moment ago that our past, meaning our sins, our failures, and our mistakes, can rob us of peace and joy in the present and sap our future, our hope for the future. If all you know of your past is what has happened since you were born, then you don't know the whole story. You have to know the backstory, that God knew about you before he formed the earth. You didn't exist yet. You didn't come into existence until the moment of conception in your mother's womb. But because God is all-knowing, there's never been a time he didn't know about you. And he chose you before he ever formed the earth to become his son or daughter through faith in Christ. And he issued that call to you. He's invited you to a future. More
tomorrow. You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.